morning. And I think with that, we'll light our advent candle. Please stand in body or in spirit. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who opens the heavens and draws us near with salvation. Amen. God is patient and merciful, desiring all to come to repentance. Trusting this promise of grace, let us confess our sin, keeping a moment of silence for reflection and self-examination. I encourage you to read from the screen today. It is not the normal. Everlasting God, you love justice and you hate wrongdoing. We confess the fear, greed, and self-centeredness that make us reluctant to work against oppression. We are complicit in systems of exploitation. We choose comfort over courage. We are careless with creation's bounty. Look upon us with mercy. Turn our hearts again to you. Make us glad to do your will and to walk in your ways for the sake of your waiting world. Amen. Hear these words of assurance. God clothes you with garments of salvation and covers you with robes of righteousness. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the preaching of John, that rejoicing in your salvation, we may bring forth the fruits of repentance. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Good morning. Our first reading is from the book of Zephaniah, the third chapter. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on the day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. And I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown through all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home. At that time, I gather you. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the people of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A Okay, since we got it working, we'll try this week. Please read responsively with me from Isaiah, the 12th chapter. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. And I will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted.
Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known.
Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The second reading comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the 4th chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 3rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Last week we were introduced to John in the wilderness, and this week John has some interesting things to say to us. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation. Be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn in unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated.
Good news? Question mark?
Anyway, I think I got it now, right, Jeff? Maybe?
Check, check.
Yep, I turned it on. Anyway, so so in the three years ago, I remember trying to figure out how to preach this text because honestly, this text always really scared me, and I didn't understand how, as a Lutheran, don't believe in works righteousness kind of Lutheran, that's what Lutherans are, how I could reconcile this text. It never made sense to me. So John, the one who we're supposed to be scared of, at least in my mind, because he's the one going around calling people broods of vipers, he's saying things like this. He says, his winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. He's not saying this of himself. He's saying this of the one to come. The one to come who we understand to be Jesus. And I thought John, the guy going around declaring people broods of vipers, was the scary one. But here he is, he's just baptizing with water, right? And the one who is to come after him, Jesus, he is the one that's tossing people into unquenchable fire. And I just have a question this morning. What happened to Buddy Jesus? You know, what a friend we have in Jesus. That Jesus? What happened to him? I want the, by grace we have been saved through faith, Jesus, of Ephesians 2. I don't, on the other hand, want this winnowing fork, clearing the threshing floor, burning us sinners, Jesus. He's scary, but here he is, front and center today. And this Jesus is really scary to us Lutherans because it really pushes against our theology. So you know what we're going to do instead? We're just going to do something. We're going to flip to just a random page in here, and we're going to preach on Amos 9, Israel to be destroyed. That doesn't sound like much better news. Anyway, scratch that. We're not going to do that. What we could do, on the other hand, is acknowledge a problem. It is a problem that always exists when we open up Scripture and read it without really scratching beneath that surface. It's a problem not with ancient texts, it's a problem with modern us. We struggle to understand ancient peoples, their customs, their ways of life, their ways of living, their ways of being, dare I say, their ways of farming. And therefore, sometimes these biblical metaphors go right over our heads. And you got to be careful when something goes over your head. If it gets too close, you end up looking like me or Mike. So I will say, let's dare to scratch below the surface of this winnowing fork, threshing floor, wheat and chaff metaphor today. And I got to warn you, we're going to have to talk about farming, and it could get really boring for a second, but stick with me. Anyone here ever grown wheat? Yeah? Okay, we got a few. So, which part of the wheat plant is edible? The whole thing? Not very much, right? Like this itty-bitty little part. So, you start with the stem or the stalk, right? This is called, when it's done, what do we call it? The straw, right? Well, no. The stalk is the straw, right? And what do we use straw for?
Bedding.
Actually, it says here for making scarecrows. But bedding might work too. And then you have, like you said, Brian, the head. The head, this very small part on the end. Is this whole head of grain worthwhile for us to eat as humans? No. What's that? After you do a few more things, right? So if you were to take that head of grain and throw it in your mouth and start chewing on it, is it going to taste very good? No. Why? Because there's a lot of non-digestible stuff in there. I mean, it might be good fiber, but it doesn't taste that good, right? So what do? We thresh it. We thresh the wheat. So you cut off the stalk and then you thresh the wheat. And in the days before, you had these big green and big red things driving through fields doing all of these processes at once. You would take this wheat and you would throw it on the threshing floor, and you would use a long stick called a flail. Anyone know what a flail is? Looks a lot like me when I preach on Sunday. You got a long stick and you got arms, and it goes like this when it talks. You use that flail to hit the wheat, and it busts apart those heads of the little pieces of grain from the head, right? And then we can eat it, right? No. Then we have to winnow, which is what we hear today. We have to get this seed casing called the chaff off of it. So off with the chaff in this process called winnowing. And then again, in the days before the green and red equipment and all of these other mechanized improvements over the recent centuries, this was done using this scary sounding winnowing fork, which is pretty simple. It's just you have a pile of wheat waiting for the chaff to be removed. It's on the threshing floor, and you take this pile and you throw it up into the air with the winnowing fork, and you have to have a windy day, and it blows away the chaff, and you just keep doing this over and over and over again until you throw it up, and finally there's nothing blowing away, and what's left down there on the ground is the heavier grains of wheat, the kernel. That is what happened.
You had enough
wind. So we're going to get to that. Sort of. So here's the thing. I explained this, maybe not in as much detail, but I explained this 3 years ago. Who here remembers that? That's what I thought. This is really important, and I don't want you to ever forget it. I said we needed wind. Uh-oh, my battery's dead. So we have wind. Who wants to plug in something for me? Uh-oh. Hey, I have socks. Go plug it in back there, and then stretch it up here, and don't knock that down. We're going to try to burn something down later, though. So, who here likes almonds? Anybody like almonds? Okay. Question number two. Who here likes or at least finds toilet paper useful? Yes, right? Yes. Okay. Who here likes the two mixed together, as in toilet paper covered almonds? Anybody? Is this useful? Right. It's about as useful as a grain of wheat with the chaff still attached, because, like I said, you cannot digest the chaff. So, we are going to, in this demonstration, the grain of wheat is going to be played by the almond, and the chaff is going to be played by the toilet paper. Now, here is why this is the toilet paper is a really good example of chaff. One, if you do not use toilet paper correctly, or you buy the cheap stuff, this chaff will make you chafe. That's one. Two, toilet paper is not digestible. And no, I don't know this because I tried it. I know it because there are piles of it out in my yard, which is where my dog goes to the bathroom. My dog has proven it to me. So, a very useful chaff. So here we go. All right. Now I need a little bit of a boost on my wind here. Blow the, hold that there. Hold on, don't push the button. Don't push the button. We'll get there. So, oh, don't worry, Brian. You don't have to pick it up. We're going to make it worse. So, what you saw there was now we have an almond and we have toilet paper, right? We have an almond and we have toilet paper. And I got to ask, now that we understand this process of winnowing, which are you? Are you, who said they like almonds? Mike, I think you said it. You want some of the floor almonds? So, now that we understand this process of winnowing, we understand, hey, I need somebody to pick up the toilet paper for me. Thank you. Now that we understand this process, we get to the point of wondering and asking ourselves, are we the toilet paper or are we the almond? Is this a question that people have asked themselves? Sorry, probably not that one, but when you hear this original metaphor, have you asked yourself, are you the chaff or are you the wheat? Have you ever asked yourself that question? No? What, you always knew that you were the wheat? You always knew you were the chaff?
Never followed that metaphor.
So, my problem always with this metaphor is that it always struck me with fear. I always felt as if I had to be the wheat or the chaff. And then that pushed against the idea of works righteousness for me because I had to know, if I didn't do enough or I wasn't good enough, was I going to end up as the chaff? And if I end up as the chaff, if I end up, I thought I separated this. Anyway, and if I end up as the chaff, I heard what's going to happen, right? What happens when you're the chaff? What? No, when you, the chaff, what happens to the chaff? It gets burned in unquenchable fire, right? Oh, you want to see it again? Yes, that is what happens to the chaff. My fear was always that I was the chaff. And as a Lutheran, I couldn't quite understand how this aligned with a Lutheran theology of no works righteousness. So, here's what I figured out when I finally understood this metaphor. So, you have wheat. Question on the wheat. The wheat is one singular being, right? It is not separate, is it? There's this whole process of separating the chaff out from the wheat. So I think The more proper way for us to read this text, now that we understand winnowing, is to take a lot of the scary out of it. The world, I think, is scary enough without us spending our lives worrying, am I going to get thrown into this unquenchable fire? This is a question that terrorizes us. It shackles us in fear. The one who is to come, the one who John is proclaiming will come, this one is meant to liberate us, not to hold us captive. But the one who is to come, the one who is to wield the winnowing fork, he does not see us as toilet paper. He does not see us as almonds. He sees us as, well, hey, you're right, Lydia. He sees us as toilet paper covered almonds. That's right. You're all a bunch of toilet paper covered almonds. Now, what I'll say is, if we stick with John's metaphor, which, you know, is probably the better one, we are wheat. But we are wheat without the chaff removed, right? The one who is coming, the one who is wielding the winnowing fork, has come to remove that chaff from us. He sees us not as the toilet paper, not as the almonds, but as this toilet paper covered almond. And by worldly standards, you all told me no one wants toilet paper covered almonds. That's not the next big idea, right? So Jesus looks at this. He looks at us, who by worldly standards are sometimes kind of useless, and says, you know what? I can work with that. I can work with them. And he sees goodness in us, even when we sometimes struggle to see goodness in ourselves. Even though we are covered in sin, in this case, the toilet paper, he acts in the here and the now, and he takes upon himself the work that only he can. And he separates the wheat from the chaff, or the almonds from the toilet paper, and he frees us from our sin and from our brokenness. The one who is to come is not meant to terrorize us as one holding a pitchfork or a winnowing fork or a whatever fork in his hand, waiting to stab us or throw us off a cliff into the fire. No, he is here to set us free by purifying and cleanse us with this new baptism that we hear of. It is a baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. And this baptism, my dear siblings in Christ, is a baptism that we all share. And it is no ordinary dunk in the water back there. Now, we use water because, you know, that's kind of what Jesus did and you know, that whole thing. But we also don't want to burn people like this idea of winnowing. But again, it's just a metaphor. So this baptism, it is a daily dying and rising in Christ. And if you've been baptized, we don't baptize you again, but guess what? Your baptism, it is not done. From the day you are baptized, you were baptized recently, right, Liz? Is your baptism over? No, see, she knows. It's not over. Our baptism is not done until the day we die. It's not. It is a daily dying and rising in Christ. Daily we drown in those waters of baptism and we rise to new life. Just like Christ died on the cross and rose to new life on the third day. So, we'll talk in catechism about it, Abby. So on this daily trip to the baptismal font, I would say we could also look at it as a daily trip to the threshing floor where our sin-covered selves are thrown into the air. I don't know where the almond went. See? We winnowed it away. And we are once again renewed and made clean in the waters of baptism as we are winnowed, as Jesus takes us, throws us into the air over and over and over again, allowing our sins to be blown away. And then we are ready to be gathered into the granary, ready to go out into the world and do God's work. That's right. There is this in-between time, Jesus' first coming, and as we wait for Jesus to come again, and we wait in this time with hopeful expectation, just as those were waiting with expectation around John asking, is he the Messiah? We asked similar questions. When is Christ going to come again? And we are prepared each day as we are doing this. We are winnowed and our toilet paper is removed and we are sent to the granary of this world to do the work of the one who has prepared us for this work. Just know this, each and every day that we die and rise to new life, we'll fail again. We're going to. We are not, however, destined for unquenchable fire. I firmly believe this. Because the one for whom we wait will pick us back up. The toilet paper covered almonds that we are, he will toss us into the air and we will once again be clean and ready to eat. Right, Mike? Catch it in your mouth. No, he didn't. We will be prepared to live out John's instruction in the way that we otherwise couldn't. John says, repent. We can't repent without Jesus. Repent, give away one of your many coats and your extra food. Except for he didn't really say extra. He just said, give away your food. He still wants you to eat. He's saying this, I think. He's saying, be a blessed blessing to this world. We have been freed to be that blessed blessing. Not sitting around worrying about whether I'm wheat or whether I am chaff. We are both. And we are freed of that chaff every day so we can go out into the world and be a blessed blessing. This is not scary news. This is not terrifying news. No. This is the good news of the one for whom we wait, Jesus Christ. For that I say, thanks be to God. And does anyone want some almonds? Even the ones that weren't on the floor? Nah, never.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of the Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was
As we prepare for Emmanuel, God with us, let us pray for all people and places that long for God's presence.
God who reforms, fill your church with courage to do your will. Give us the wisdom and strength to recognize that which no longer bears fruit, so that we may cut it down in hopes that shoots of new life may grow. Raise up leaders with prophetic voices who will challenge that which keeps us in the past and prevents us from serving your people here and now. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer. God who leads this world, cries out for true justice. Guide legislatures, judges, and lawyers in actions steeped in love and restoration. Show us in this place, First Lutheran, ways in which we can advocate for all who are confronted with discrimination and oppression of any kind. Give us the strength to stand with those on the margins, that we may offer our voices to those whose voices have been silenced, as we work for a world in which all people's voices are heard. Lord, in your mercy.
God who creates, you hold in balance diverse ecosystems, encourage efforts to protect wild lands from devastation, care for animals and people in the path of destructive fires, storms, and other disasters, especially those who continue to rebuild their lives, homes, businesses, and livelihoods following Hurricanes Helene and Milton. We pray that Lutheran Disaster Response and our continued support of this mission brings help and hope to those still recovering from destruction. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer. God who embraces, help us notice the places where your people are hurting or sick. We pray especially for the family and friends of Bill. We pray for Fred, Caden, Kevin, Linda, Joe, Haley, Paige, Sandy, Scott, Jean, Tina, Barb, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Ed, Bobby, Nancy, Jim, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We pray for Al, Patty, Judy. We renew our prayers for Ed. We pray for Ashley, Chrissy, for the family and friends of Al. We pray for Sharon and Peggy. Show your compassion and remember your people in love. Lord, in your mercy.
God who abides, you dwell among the people of this congregation. Deepen our relationships with one another and make us aware of the diverse talents and gifts present here, especially our worship and music ministry, prayer shawl, meal ministries, hope team, property team, altar guild, and all use their gifts of compassion to minister to those inside this congregation and beyond. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer. Savior of the nations, come and receive these prayers and the pleas of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. It's a good question. I didn't understand it until I was like 37. Let's continue with our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Creator God, you made the whole world, even the furthest stars, and you draw near to feed us. We praise you for these gifts of bread and wine. Strengthen us with this food that we may live in expectation for the advent of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new, in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us, bless this meal. Make your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people, fill us with your light. Bring us, bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Though we are not worthy to receive this meal, the God who can raise stone for who from stones can raise children for Abraham washes us clean and prepares us to receive it. So come, all of you, eat, drink, and be satisfied. Body of Christ broken for you. This is the body. body of Christ broken for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Generous God, we thank you for the gift of life, for the bread of salvation. We thank you for coming among us, for leading us into peace. We thank you for showering us with mercy, for sending us into the world. Come, Lord Jesus, and go with us as we feed the hungry in your name.
Amen. So something I learned today was that if you burn toilet paper, it kind of smells like incense.
It does. It smells a little bit like incense up here. Eh? No?
It smells like burnt toilet paper.
A.K.A. incense. I don't know. It just smells like incense. And I like the smell of incense. Anyway, a few announcements this morning. The biggest is next Sunday is not yet Christmas Eve, but it's getting close. And then 2 days after that, I think, is Christmas Eve. And we will worship here at 7 p.m., for a candlelight service. I'm sure it would be plenty dark by then, since it gets dark at like 5. And we will start music around, probably around 6:45. So that is our Christmas Eve announcement. Let's see. Midweek Advent here this Wednesday, 7 p.m. We will continue with our study of Revelation. If you want to catch up, go out there and check out on our Facebook page. There are two now midweek Advent posts on Revelation. Any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none, please stand in body or in spirit. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Share with the one who has none.
The one who baptizes with Holy Spirit and fire is near.
And he will return to reign.